Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, more Rohingya girls are being forced into dangerous marriages. The Associated Press interviewed 13 girls forced into marriage who say they feel like hostages. Katie Weaver and Dan Friedel have the story. I have this week's health report on the rise of dengue infections. Health experts say climate change is increasing the chance of spread. Later, Andrew Smith and Jill Robbins present the lesson of the day. But first,
the Rohingya girl from Myanmar wanted to do anything she could to provide some money for her parents and three younger siblings. They needed food. The 14-year-old and her family are members of the Muslim minority in Myanmar. The group is always in danger of attack by government forces and others there. Last year, the girl, M, agreed to marry a man in Malaysia who promised to send about $4,000 to her family. She and all the girls in this report are identified by only the first letter of their names for their safety. M told the Associated Press she was not ready for marriage, but she had an urgent need to help her family. Now, a year later in Kuala Lumpur, her 35-year-old husband rapes her almost every night. M's experience is not unusual, the AP reports. Many underage girls are now in Malaysia living in forced marriages to older men. The girls say conditions for Rohingya in Myanmar and refugee camps in Bangladesh were very bad. Soldiers and others were raping and killing people. Others had their homes burned and property stolen. Malaysia seemed like a possibility for a safer life.
The AP interviewed 13 Rohingya for the report. All had arrived in Malaysia since 2022. The youngest girl was 13. They all say they feel like hostages. They are rarely permitted outside their homes. They say they are not prepared to be mothers. About half are pregnant, and some have children already. The path to flee the refugee camps or Myanmar is dangerous. Some try crossing the Andaman Sea by boat, although many die on the long trip. The United Nations said most Rohingya who survived the crossing this year were women and children. The people who take the girls on dangerous trips to Malaysia are called traffickers. The girls are crowded onto boats and vehicles for the trip. There is little food. The traffickers also rape and beat the girls. When M arrived in Malaysia, the man she was to marry called for the ceremony to take place at once. M was still bleeding from the rapes she suffered on her journey. A person who helps the Rohingya girls took her to a hospital for care. When M got home, she found out the man who was now her husband already had a wife and two children. M does not tell her parents what happened to her. She thinks it might cause her husband to stop sending monthly payments to her family. Another girl, Dee, is in the same situation. She is 13. She plays with a little toy whale as she talks. She wants to play outside or visit a market nearby, but her husband does not permit her to leave the home. She is forced to have sex every day. She does not want a baby, but she knows there is a good chance she will get pregnant. "I want to run," Dee said.
R is 16. She has a newborn. She is one of several girls in a building filled with child brides who now have their own children. You can hear the babies crying. She said, "Life as a refugee in Bangladesh was difficult, but as one of 11 children in her family, she was never lonely there. She had no one in Malaysia except her husband. She would be alone all day while he was at work. R gave birth recently. When I saw my baby's face, I was happy, because now I have a friend," she told the AP. "However, being a mother is not easy." She said she does not know how to be a mother. "I miss my mom," she said. "I want my parents." S is pregnant and homeless. Her Malaysian husband forced her to leave when he found out she was pregnant. Without a job, S walks the streets of Kuala Lumpur asking strangers for money. "I once dreamed of having a happy family," S says. "I don't dream much anymore." I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
The disease dengue is spreading across the Western Hemisphere in numbers not seen since record-keeping began in 1980. Experts are warning that rising temperatures and growing cities are increasing the rate of infection. More than 4 million cases have been reported throughout the Americas and the Caribbean so far this year, breaking a record set in 2019. Officials from the Bahamas to Brazil are warning of crowded health centers and new infections daily. Reports say there have been more than 2,000 deaths across the wide area. Thais dos Santos is with the Pan American Health Organization, the Area Office of the World Health Organization, or WHO, in the Americas. She said diseases like dengue provide us a really good sentinel of what is happening with climate change. A lack of good sanitation and strong health systems have added to the rise in cases, but experts say droughts and floods linked to climate change are causing greater spread of the virus. That is because stored water and heavy rains appeal to mosquitoes. Dr. Gabriela Paz Bailey is chief of the dengue branch for the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Puerto Rico. She noted that higher temperatures also are expanding the mosquito's habitat and helping the virus develop faster inside the mosquito. That leads to higher viral loads and a higher chance of transmission. This year's Northern Hemisphere summer was the hottest ever, with August about 1.5 degrees Celsius warmer than pre-industrial period averages. And Copernicus, the European Climate Service, reported that 2023 is the second hottest year on record. Worldwide, more than 4.5 million cases of dengue had been reported as of early November. There have been more than 4,000 deaths reported in 80 countries. Countries like Bangladesh are seeing a record number of cases and deaths. The government in the South Asian country has reported more than 313,700 cases and more than 1,600 deaths. Most of the deaths happened within 3 days of hospitalization. The mosquito that carries dengue also has been identified in 22 European countries, with local spread of the disease seen in France, Italy, and Spain. In August, the Central African country of Chad reported its first dengue outbreak in history. Dengue affects some 129 countries, with roughly half the world's population at risk, says the WHO. Infected female mosquitoes pass the virus when they feed on animals. The sickness can cause severe headaches, fever, vomiting, rash, and other signs. While most infected people do not get symptoms, severe cases can lead to plasma leakage and death. What is worse, experts say, repeated infections means a higher risk of developing severe dengue. The Caribbean is also battling an increase in cases. The area had reported a 15% increase in confirmed cases by early October compared with the same period last year, says the Caribbean Public Health Agency. Officials on the French Caribbean islands of Guadeloupe and Martinique declared an epidemic in August that is still ongoing. Martinique is reporting an average of 800 cases a week on the island of some 394,000 people. Meanwhile, Jamaica and the Bahamas declared an outbreak in September, followed by Barbados in October. Poor countries struggle the most with dengue. Bad sanitation creates a good reproduction environment for infected mosquitoes. Poor housing conditions leave people at greater risk of exposure to mosquitoes. Dengue outbreaks can crush already poor and overworked health systems. Jeremy Farah is chief scientist for the WHO. He said dengue is very difficult to treat, partly because patients often delay in seeking medical care. The virus can progress so quickly, he said. Treating those with the disease requires very close patient supervision and a lot of time. Farah said, imagine that you have 1,000 people like that, requiring all that delicate clinical care. It can very quickly overwhelm a system.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for the story on dengue. I was hoping you could explain one word in the story, sentinel.
Hi, Ashley. I actually had to look up this word myself. A sentinel in a medical context is something that is an indicator of the presence of disease.
So what did the WHO official in the story mean when she said dengue is a sentinel for climate change?
In other words, she's saying that climate change and warm temperatures is causing the increase in dengue cases. There's a couple reasons for that. One, higher temperatures permit mosquitoes that carry the disease to expand their habitat or live in more places. Also, climate change is causing more droughts and floods. When there are floods, there is more stored water for the mosquitoes to live in.
Are dengue outbreaks more common in poorer countries?
Yes, they are. Poor sanitation can create a better reproduction environment for the mosquitoes. Also, bad health systems make the problem worse. So we've seen really bad outbreaks in places like the Caribbean and South Asia. But the WHO says half the world's population is at risk of dengue. So the threat is clearly not limited to just poor countries.
Well, thanks for answering my question, Stan, and thanks again for your health report.
You're welcome.
Mateo.
And my name is Andrew Smith.
My name is Jill Robbins. You're listening to the lesson of the day on the Learning English podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our video series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Ana Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C. We've reached the end of level one of the series, lesson 52.
And to celebrate with us, we have invited the star of the series, Ana Mateo, to join us in our podcast. Thanks for talking with us today, Ana.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Jill, for asking me. Although I would not call myself the star, this product was definitely a team effort. I was, however, the host, writer, producer, and director. You know, it takes many different roles to make these products. And another team of people made lesson plans and additional pronunciation videos. But I know you guys understand all this. Your podcast involves many roles too. It makes the process more fun and it goes quickly. Don't you think?
It sure does. Time flies when you're having fun. And boy, did we ever have fun making this series. Is that how you look back on it, Ana?
I do, but it was a lot of work, too. We had a great team. Almost everyone on the Learning English staff appeared in the videos at one time or another. And I must give a big shout-out to Rick Heinemann, the videographer and video editor. He understood my writing and my humor exactly, so he was able to bring the scripts alive from page to the video. So thank you, Rick.
Ana, I heard you produced one lesson a week for over a year. Can you describe a bit about that process, and what did you enjoy the most?
Sure. It was actually almost 2 years, and during production, we were all doing our usual jobs of writing, voicing, and hosting other shows. For me, the most fun was writing funny scenes and acting with my amazing coworkers, Ashley, Kelly, Katie, Pete, Jonathan, Lucia, Dan, John Russell, Alice Bryan, and others. So wonderful. Taping our videos on location throughout DC was also fun, but could be stressful. As a producer, I had to line up locations and get permission. And I also want to thank Haido, our branch chief, for the freedom to do the series in the first place.
Yeah, we went all over the city. We filmed in museums, parks, and even private homes.
Ana, since you're here, we'd like you to help us with this last lesson from Level 1. As you may know, we usually play a clip from the lesson and then talk about it. Would you mind introducing Lesson 52 for our listeners?
Sure. In the final lesson of Level 1, you see that I'm being interviewed on a special television program. The host of the show is Kelly, who you saw as the director in Lesson 40, The Woods Are Alive. Kelly was such a wonderful coworker and on-air talent. She no longer works at Learning English, but stays in touch with many of us. So, in the beginning of this episode, Kelly introduces me to the audience and tells them about my new career in acting. Let's listen.
Hello, it's Anna. I did it. Washington, D.C. is my home. Looking back over the past year, I've done so many amazing things. I have met people from all over the world. I've made many good friends. And I have a great job. And I've taken a lot of chances. And now I have some really big news. Wait for it. And 3, 2, 1.
Hello. And welcome to Around the Corner and Across the Street from the Actor's Studio. Many people dream of becoming actors, but very often those dreams don't come true. Well, today we will meet a woman, and her acting career has really taken off. In fact, she acted in my play, The Woods Are Alive! Oh, she really brought the part of tree number 15 to life. Let's give a warm welcome to Anna Mateo.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. Thank you.
There's a phrasal verb in here. Kelly says your career has really taken off. She means that you are making progress quickly. Like when an airplane leaves the ground, we say it is taking off.
Right. And this lesson is all about taking chances and following your dreams. For example, in Lesson 40, I took a chance on acting, and it had a great result. You will hear about how my acting career took off in the final lesson.
And if our listeners watch Lesson 52, they will see that Anna is dressed in her tree costume, which we also saw in Lesson 40. Anna, can you tell us about this tree costume?
Andrew, I still have parts of that tree costume. I love it so much. I made the tree costume out of cardboard, and I made it so that it would be difficult to move in. I could not bend my knees, I could not bend my arms, I could not move. So I felt like a tree.
Yeah, let's listen as Kelly asks about the costume and your future plans.
Thanks. Thanks. Well, it is great to see you again, Director Kelly.
It's great to see you too, Anna. I see you are still wearing your tree costume. Does this have anything to do with your big news?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Well, Anna, please share that news with us.
Kelly, I will be acting in 3 movies.
That is amazing, Anna. Tell us more.
Well, the first is a science fiction movie. The second is a romantic comedy. And the third is an action movie.
That is so great. Let me guess. You're playing a tree in all of them.
Yes! This is what happened. To prepare for your play, I had to find out what it was like to be a tree in the world.
I had to find out where to eat, where to shop,
where to meet people and how to get around the city.
And that's why we see you walking in your tree costume on the street in Washington, D.C. There are a lot of people on the sidewalk watching you. The scene that really makes me laugh is when you say, where to meet people, and you hug a tree.
I loved taping that scene. You know, props are special objects that you use in acting or in a scene, and also costumes can lead to funny situations. For this video, I told the videographer, Rick, to just follow me around. I knew that every action was going to be difficult and therefore funny. Again, I took the chance of being laughed at, and it was well worth it.
Amazing! I think big things are going to happen for you, Anna. So, tell me, will you be moving to Hollywood for a career in movies?
No. I'll make the movies and then come back. Washington, D.C. is my home.
I'm sure your family is very proud.
Yes, they are. You know, Kelly, not too long ago, I didn't feel very good about my life. I had to make a change. So I took some chances. Sometimes I succeeded. Sometimes I failed. But I will never stop trying.
Thank you for sharing your news and so much more with us, Anna. Until next time.
From this last part we heard, I think the lesson is to keep trying. The only way to succeed is to take chances.
That's right, Andrew. Taking chances and risks, making mistakes, failing. In every episode, from the very beginning, I wanted that to be a theme of the show. So in the show, I always make a mistake. Something always goes wrong. But in the end, it turns out okay. And this is important for language learners. Learning a language is not easy. So you have to take risks to learn. I want English learners who watch our programs to feel free to make mistakes.
Well, they say you often learn best by making mistakes. So, listeners, why not try speaking English and see if people understand you? Anna, thank you so much for coming on our podcast and sharing with our listeners.
Anytime, Andrew. Maybe we can do this again when you finish level 2.
Yeah. Thanks, Anna. We'll be in touch. Back to our listeners. We've been asking Anna a lot of questions. Now it's your turn. Do you have a question for Anna?
You can email us at learningenglish@voanews.com or put your comments on our YouTube video for this podcast. And it'll be great if you share the lesson of the day with your friends and family. Remember that you can also find us on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks for listening. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.